Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Hey, this is the Grilling Guys. This is Barbecue Bob, and I am in studio right now with another fill-in for Jop. I've got the one and only Tim Sobey from Sobey Meats.
How you doing today, Bob?
Hey, good, buddy. Thanks for filling in, and your timing is perfect because today's show is all about the spring run and how to grill it. So we're going to talk all about salmon and steelhead. And we have a special guest coming down that should be in studio shortly. He's a young man I've known since he was 12 years old. His name is Joshua Gertz, and he's a Jennison boy who's making it big in the fishing, competitive fish world. And he's just a wonderful kid, always has been, and he's really stretching out. So we want to get him in here in a little bit and talk about maybe some great secrets to get that steelhead on the line.
That always helps, you know, when you got that M80 that potentially is left over in your tackle box from years gone by.
That's another way to do it. Another way
to
do it.
You can't say that.
Another way to do it. I think when we were kids, we used 12 gauges, but that's, I think statute of limitations has passed me on that. Jop was in out in Arizona, and he caught something, and he has been under the weather, and I just said, I don't want to be anywhere near you. I'll find a fill-in. I know just the guy to talk fish with.
And you know he didn't catch a steelhead. That's not what he caught, right?
No.
Hopefully it wasn't crabs.
I was watching a great video from Australia the other day. A buddy of mine from Australia posted, and it's these guys fishing on the bank somewhere in the outback, and this guy's reeling in one honker of a fish, and his buddy says, Go back. And the guy starts running back with this big fish, pulling it right up on shore. And this crocodile's chasing it. And they're not worried about not getting the fish. They're worried about the croc changing his mind. The croc got the fish, so it's a big 2-foot something. Nice. And so they were happy to let him take it away as long as he left. And he agreed to leave. So anyway, we're going to talk all about salmon and steelhead. And I got to tell you, my favorite thing to catch on Lake Michigan is a deep water steelhead. And I want to talk a little bit in the fourth segment about a guy I used to go out with. I had an interesting weekend after the show last week. I went home, and we've had this ongoing feud in our house, the Bickersons. We have these trees around the pool, and a couple of them I really want to go on. My wife's been fighting with me for years. And basically, it's a big hickory and a big cherry. And, you know, like when you cut a hole in the woods like you do for a pool, the trees all want to grow into that hole. So this hickory and this cherry started growing into the hole, and they're now like over the pool. And that's not good. Anybody who's ever had a pool knows having a tree hanging over it is a bad idea. Yep. Leaves dropping. The hickory drops the hickory nuts. The cherry drops those wild cherry drops those little wild cherries.
The birds.
Yeah. And so Saturday after the show, my boys were home, and we got the chainsaws out. I bought 150-foot rope and a 1,200-pound rope, and took the ladder up, put it at the top of the tree, hooked it to the pickup 150 feet out in the woods, and put some pressure on it, did our notch, and started doing a back cut and make sure it wasn't going to bind the blade up. And when I saw that thing freeing up the blade and letting me cut through, I gave my son the signal to keep feathering that gas. And that mighty hickory went down. It was wonderful because that's been on my list for 5 years.
Oh, and look at the smoking wood you got now.
Oh, I'm telling you. Well, a big chunk of it's going to go down to the sawmill because I love hickory.
Oh, yeah.
And there's plenty for smoking. But then Sunday we had a fundraiser down at Creston Brewery. in Creston Heights, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA, for a kid named Alex Schulte, who suffered a terrible fall at his uncle's cabin, and he had swelling on the brain. They didn't expect him to live. Well, they transferred him down to Butterworth now, and he's actually moving his hands a little bit and opening his eyes. And so he's coming around, and we hope to get him back to health. But Creston Brewery was nice enough to give us their upstairs and provide a great facility to have a big – we had a huge turnout, and a lot of cool things to bid on. I actually won some bids. I donated a barbecue for 30 that was quite popular, and there was a bidding war on that, which you always like to see at fundraisers.
Absolutely,
right?
Yeah.
So that was a lot of fun. And did you do any grilling last week other than all the thousands of pounds of meat you smoked in your shop?
Well, the one we just did, we had some prime beef that had come in. And so I looked in the case, and there were some T-bones in there. Like, is that still that prime beef? And they say, yeah, we got one rib left. So we did some prime ribeyes on the grill for supper. It was like butter in your mouth, I'm telling you what.
So if you're new to the show, you might not know who Tim Sobey is. He owns a very large butcher shop in the west side of Grand Rapids, in the what I would call the west side, and it's largely Polish, and with a name like Sobey, it's probably used to be Sobieski, so yeah. He's quite Polish. And I always say the best butchers are Polish, so you fit right into that. Maybe you taught me that. I don't know.
Well, had a dipsy doodle when I was teaching you, right?
So Tim brought down some of this whitefish dip. That is amazing.
Yeah, that is really delicious stuff. And rumor is it goes good with beer, too.
Oh. And what else did you bring down?
We got some smoked salmon pieces.
Nice.
And those are kind of nice because they're almost like bite size. And you get a little bit of smoke all the way around them. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like eating candy.
So we're going to try those in a little bit.
Yes,
are those
will.
Sweet?
There's a little bit of sweet salt with it, yes.
But more of a spicy kind of profile, just
no,
an average?
Just not really much spice, but just, I'll say that salty, sweet.
Mild.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice. And, of course, you brought some of your signature jerky. And if you've never been to Sobey Meats, if you're in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and you get on the north end of town, you'll see a Leonard Street exit. Take that west about 3 miles or so, and a road will veer off to the right called Remembrance. And that's actually the old road to Muskegon.
Right.
Until before the freeway got in. But you just go up a quarter mile. It's on the left. It's a very large building. The parking lot's going to be full of cars. Don't let that deter you, because they have a 90-foot counter up front, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, we're probably about 90 feet.
Yeah. And there's usually an army of people waiting on people, wrapping meats up, and you've been a sponsor for years and years. We've known each other. I ran into you when I was doing a competition with Rob Russell. We were doing a class, and I needed some casings.
Yep.
And I was at your old location, and we've been fast friends ever since. And it's just been a great friendship. And, of course, you're a sponsor for the show, so that just makes kind of a perfect world for us.
Yep. Men and meat. What can go wrong?
Depends on what town you're in. As long as
I didn't say Saugatuck. That wasn't me.
As long as we're talking deer camp, it's okay.
Yeah.
And your deer camp is pretty close to mine, so I gotta wander out there this year one time when you're up there, because I still have not made it quite that far. Funny when you get to deer camp, how all of a sudden all your plans change.
Oh yeah.
You know,
instantly.
Yeah.
All the plans you had, all of a sudden the first truck pulls up, somebody jumps
that's
out
<right. laughs>
with a glass of orange juice, and that's where things take off in
there
another direction.
Go. There you go. So next segment, we're going to talk about something I learned to love when I was stationed in Hawaii. It's called Lomi Lomi Salmon. It's the grilling, guys. We'll be right back.
Hey guys, Schmoes now has two locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites: Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Tees, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey. Engineering better Michigan beer.
Hi, this is Sal Cipriano, CEO of Better Made Snack Foods. Ever wonder why our Better Made potato chips taste so good? They're made with homegrown potatoes from West Michigan farms. So when you're driving to the beach, a festival, or a ballpark, and you pass by those farms, think of Better Made potato chips. Better yet, stop by your favorite grocer or convenience store and pick up a bag for the trip. For nearly 90 years, Better Made Snack Foods are better made.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fen Valley Vineyards. Fen Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fen Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard or in Saugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to fenvalley.com.
If your windows stick, slip, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes, along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior, can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
Yeah. That's some good fish music right there. Welcome back to the Grilling Guys. It is spring run, and now we're going to talk about how to grill it. This is Barbecue Bob. I'm in studio with Tim Sobey from Sobey Meats, filling in for Jop, who's on sick leave.
Poor guy.
Got the crud.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're talking all about salmon and steelhead because in the Great Lakes area this time of year, those fish are all staging. They're already running up the rivers. Actually, the steelhead sometimes don't even leave the rivers, but they're catching them downtown Beer City, USA at the 6th Street Bridge and the fish ladder in that area. I see fishermen out like every day right now. So if you like steelhead, and what steelhead is really is it's a oversized rainbow trout. You ever go out west and catch rainbow trout? You were just out west last year. Did you bring a fishing pole?
We didn't that time, but the time before we did.
Yeah.
And then we found a little honey hole, and right, we were getting some out of there. And
there's lots of, and I got to have more of this whitefish dip. Tim Sobey's from Sobey Meats, and he brought down, like he always does, which is why we have him in. He brought down some whitefish dip, jerky, some of his smoked salmon, and this whitefish dip. You know how they make it.
Do I know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a whole bunch of love in there.
Mm-hmm.
But the white fish and cream cheese and sour cream and chive, it's to die for.
Oh.
And it's actually, I wish I could take credit for it. It's not my recipe. Our friend Scott from Superior.
Right.
And when he had his own shop up in Elk Rapids, he developed that recipe.
He's a bright guy.
Very
sharp. He's come up with a lot of recipes.
Yeah, he has.
That jalapeno mustard, honey mustard he used to make.
That was the very first jalapeno mustard in the state of Michigan,
yeah,
and that was an award winner for him, too.
Yeah, so all things food, all good. So let's say you get lucky and catch a salmon, or you might even be out on one of the Great Lakes or the ocean this summer and catch a nice salmon. Do you have any experience cleaning salmon?
Yeah.
And are there any tips or tricks you would recommend?
Well, get
I'm
going to
eat more whitefish dip. While
there you go.
You talk.
Well, certainly. I mean, you know, obviously you're going to get a nice fillet out of there. Just a good sharp knife is always one of the key ingredients, because then you're going to get more meat off the bone than if you got a dull knife, and you're then better chance of cutting yourself.
And a
too.
Fillet knife at that.
Yes. and then getting that mud vein out of there. But and then after that, get it on ice ASAP. Get it chilled down as quickly as possible.
He just said something there. Get the mud vein out of there. I was going to talk about this in the last segment, but since you teed it up, I used to fish on a boat called the Red Boat in Grand Haven. The captain was very famous 20 years ago. His name was Bill Draper. He was a cement contractor who had this beautiful 31-foot Chris Craft. And that thing never saw winter outside. It was probably 20 years old at the time, and it was immaculate. But Bill was famous in the Great Lakes. When the Coast Guard had trouble finding something, they called him in. Because that boat had 16 transducers on
it.
Wow. Yeah. And it was just, he was just the greatest guy to hang out with for the day because he was so gracious. And, you know, let's say you get a rookie fisherman on and he doesn't know what he's doing. We've all been out with captains who get a little cranky or get a little sarcastic or start snapping at people because they kick something or don't understand protocol or etiquette. Well, not Bill. So Bill would teach you as you caught. And if you didn't know how to reel one in, he'd help you reel one in. And I was a youngster learning more from him than a lot of other people I fished with. And the other thing he would do, he had a great big cutting board on the stern. And the very first fish you caught, he'd fire up his generator, and he'd get the Fry Daddy going. And he'd take that salmon and a freshwater hose, and he'd start filleting it, and he'd get it right off that skin beautifully. And then when you once he got the bones out of it, flop it back over so you see the outside of that fish. And he'd show you on the outside of a salmon or a steelhead, you'll see mid-fish going all the way front to back, this black line. It looks like pinstriping. It's the perfect line, and that's the neuro system for that fish. It's the nerves, right? And he maintained that rigor mortis is triggered by the nervous system. So if you want your fish to taste fresh longer, delay the rigor mortis. And I firmly believe that, and I've done it ever since, and you couldn't convince me otherwise. But he would flip that over, and he would cut that. You called it a mud vein. When you flip a king salmon over, you'll notice down the center of it, or a steelhead, there's like a gray line going down the middle. And if you take a cross-section of that thing and you look at it, you can see it in the steaks as well. But you'll notice it kind of has a little point at the bottom of it. It looks a little bit like a Mazda symbol or something, right? It comes down to a little peak.
Yep.
So you kind of wedge that whole thing out along the whole line, and you get the darker meat out and that spine, and that just makes for, like, perfectly preserved food.
And then if he was going to cook that first one right up, oh, my God, that'd have to be, like, the best fish ever.
He would roll it in Progresso breadcrumbs, throw it in the deep fryer. When it came out, he put Mrs. Dash and lemon pepper on it. And I'm telling you, you had to watch your fingers around the bowl. There was never enough in the bowl because as soon as they went in there, all the guys fishing would be just scarfing them up. Yeah. I mean, it's heaven. Fresh fish fried up on the water. Oh, my gosh. It was just an unbelievable experience. And if you know of any captains on any of the Great Lakes or on either of the oceans, any of the oceans that'll take you out for salmon, try and find one that'll actually clean and fillet them for you. And maybe one will even have the ability to do it on board and cook that thing up for you because it's literally a half hour old when you're eating it.
So not to have grease splashing out, did he have like one of those little cradles? So as the boat was rocking?
No, it was a 31-foot Chris Craft, and it didn't move a whole lot.
Okay.
It was a real boat back when they made real boats.
Real boats.
Yeah. Yeah. But great man, Red Boat Charters, it was called, and Bill Draper was a guy to learn from. So we'd catch steelhead and salmon, and I always wanted the salmon until I started eating fresh steelhead. And we were talking about rainbow trout and steelhead earlier. When I've caught rainbow trout out west, they had a very distinct trout-like flavor to them, kind of wormy. Steelhead don't taste like that out of Lake Michigan. At all.
Right. and then any of the rivers they come up.
Right.
Growing up, good friends of ours, and you've been up to our place before, on a little Manistee River, when those spring steelies are coming up, well, even in the fall.
Oh, yeah.
Some of those are coming up.
Oh.
That's like the best big fish.
That's all you want.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll turn down a lot of salmon to take a steely.
Oh, yeah.
I will anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but a good fresh salmon prepared properly is equally good, too. And maybe in the next segment we'll get at talking about how to do that, because we just blew right through this one. It's the grilling, guys. It's all about the spring run, how to grill it. We'll be back.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
Howdy, it's Barbecue Bob from The Grillin' Guys. We're working hard on Operation GI Barbecue, which is an effort to send a plane load of barbecue to our troops. Right now, go to gibbq.com, look at the Sapphire Ceramic Grill on auction. You can bid on this $2,000 ceramic grill package at RepoCast.com. That's SAFFIRE at RepoCast. So remember our troops at GIBBQ.com.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120, where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA.
With the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the body, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the grilling guy show.
It's the grilling guys, and we're eating whitefish dip. This is Barbecue Bob in the studio with Tim Sobey, Sobey Meats, filling in for Jop. Thanks, buddy.
Sorry you're sick, Jop, but God, this is nice to be here today.
Oh, I'm telling you. And you made it even better. I didn't come prepared with anything, and here you got salmon and jerky and whitefish dip, and goodness sake. So,
well, we didn't show up to starve.
Okay. Yeah, I'm far from ever starving. So I want to talk about a couple really cool things to do with some salmon, and one of them is something I learned to eat when I was stationed in Hawaii, and it's called Lomi Lomi salmon. It's on thegrillinguys.com. If you want to go to our website, it's thegrillinguys.com, and just in the top right bar, just punch in L-O-M-I, and it'll pop up, and it'll bring you right up to the recipe. Don't forget to like us on Facebook / The Grillin' Guys. I'm on Twitter, and my handle is Grillin' Guy. See the common thread there?
Yep. never would have figured that out.
Yeah, it's kind of tricky the way we did that. In the next segment, we're waiting for Joshua Geertz to come in. He's from Coe Hooker Charters and Muskegon Lake Guide Service. Joshua has become just an incredible competition fisherman, and he's winning tournaments all around the country, and I've known him since he was a little spud, and he's coming in to give us some pointers, hopefully in the last segment if he gets here on time. But I want to talk about Lomi Lomi salmon, And this is something that's Polynesian, Lomi Lomi being a Polynesian term. I don't know what it means. Really good. No, really, really. Whatever. It's a
pretty dancer.
Yeah. Hold me closer. Yeah. So you basically fillet the fish, and you can do not only salmon, you can do steelhead. I've seen variations or iterations with other fish, but in Hawaii it's very common to have Lomi Lomi salmon, and it's basically cubed into little, I'm going to say they're like half-inch squares. And but basically, if you look at the menu or the recipe on our website, it'll give you the detailed process. But the short version is you're going to fillet that salmon, and you're going to rinse it off, pat it dry, and you're going to put a bunch of sea salt on it, and you're going to keep it in the refrigerator for, I think it calls for 6 hours. I can't think of the time right offhand. But then you're going to rinse it off, you're going to cube it up, and you're going to add all sorts of things, green onions, a bunch of tomatoes, cilantro, and a little bit of EVO. And you're going to mix it up, some lime juice or lemon juice, actually, for Lomi Lomi. And you mix it up, and you make like this relish out of it. And you can put it on a cracker or on a tortilla chip. It's fantastic.
Kind of similar to a ceviche then?
It is very similar. As a matter of fact, I'm going to make some ceviche here pretty soon. And so I was researching ceviche, and I'm looking at the two methods, and they're almost identical.
Yeah, it sounds very
similar.
So
let's flip over to ceviche. What's the difference? Ceviche, they actually use lime. Very often, they're going to put soy sauce maybe in ceviche.
That very well could be. I haven't made it before, but and
they're
obviously
almost identical.
In the cilantro and the tomatoes and the onions.
Yeah,
in there
the
as
big
well.
Difference being lime versus lemon.
Yeah, in the
and not as much tomato.
Okay, and the citric acid is the bacteria killer.
Right, and that's what kind of cures your fish.
Yep.
Yeah.
Pretty cool process.
I know. And the first time I had sashimi was, of course, in Hawaii, and all the locals were laughing as I ate it because I was kind of didn't have my skirt on, but you thought I would have. I was afraid, like raw fish.
Yeah.
And I took one bite and dipped it in a little soy sauce. It's like, wow, this is beautiful stuff. I think it was some fresh tuna right out of the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And after as the years rolled on, my boss had a boat, and he and I would get off work, and we would just go out and catch our own tuna and have lots of fun drinking very cheap beer and bring home just massive quantities of tuna in 5 hours. And he would always carve one up right on the boat, rinse it off, and he'd always have some hot sauce. He was Portuguese. He's a Portuguese. So he would have the hot sauce and some chopsticks, and we just dipped that stuff right there. I mean, warm. It was never refrigerated.
Sure.
This baby's coming out of a 70-degree ocean, so it couldn't get any fresher, kind of like Bill Draper's Steelies.
But that's what makes that even like sashimi-grade fish, is it literally has to get processed within just a few hours.
Oh, is that right?
And so a really super fresh fish, then the salmonella hasn't begun to grow yet. That's the big difference. So like on a wild or wicked tuna, and some of those fish are so expensive, they have to get them back to shore, get them refrigerated like ASAP.
What's wicked tuna?
When they go out in the ocean and catch those big, massive tuna.
Mm. Is that a TV show or something?
Yeah.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kind of like Deadliest Catch with the crab.
Yeah, right.
And that's the wicked tunas with the tuna fish.
Oh, some of those
bluefin
things
tuna.
Yeah, they get 500 pounds.
Yeah, almost as big as a car.
Yeah, and that's just a huge amount of money.
Yeah.
Because when you're selling
10 to 20
tuna,
grand per fish.
Yeah, when you're selling tuna off, it's in little chunks, right?
Yeah, which is that processed is, I'll say, the scraps of what would be that prime tuna steak or that sashimi grade tuna. So I believe it has to be less than 4 hours old to qualify.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow. And I did actually watch, maybe that was the show I was watching once, but I was watching this, I think it was a Japanese fella, teaching people how they grade that tuna. And one fish actually has all sorts of ranges of grades of like sashimi grade and whatever else, you mm-hmm. know, they do just steaks or something suitable for steaks.
The fat content.
Yeah. Yeah. So based on where on the fish it was, it had a different purpose.
Yep.
You'd make a different type of food out of it. Yeah. I love fish. And so this time of year, I get pretty excited thinking that I'm going to get a line in my hands. And
me in the spring of the year for catching them and for eating them during Lent.
Yeah. Perfect. Total Catholic thing to say.
Yeah, I know.
If you just tuned in, it's the Grilling Guys and the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Tim Sobey's in studio with me. This is Barbecue Bob, and Jop is off sick. So we're in the next segment expecting right now Joshua Geertz to come in, and we're going to talk all about catching them. But before we do that, have you ever made salmon patties?
I have not. I'm not a big lover of a salmon patty.
I'm not either.
We have them in the shop. Those we get, you know, we got a supplier for them. But, you know, I think we did one time years back, and, you know, somebody came up a way to use them up. And just, I don't know, I'd rather have it as that nice filet chunk.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
I grew up, my mother used to love to make those. And I'm pretty sure back in the 70s, they were using canned salmon.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's all we could afford.
Yeah,
there wasn't a lot of fresh, you know, you didn't have fresh salmon being flown in from the east or west coast.
Fish sticks,
right?
Was the other
right? You did have Mrs. Paul's.
Yeah.
Well, I guess you'd have to go to our website, and it's thegrillingguys.com. Check out the Lomi Lomi salmon recipe. I'm going to post a ceviche recipe as well, so you can tell the difference, because I couldn't articulate it here without notes. I thought I could remember it all, but I think all I can think of right now is a whitefish dip. So we're going to take a little break. We're going to run down to the green room and grab Joshua Geertz, and you stick around and put down your rake.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
This is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's GarrettsAppliances.com, GarrettsAppliances.com.
Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I've ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
We'll
Welcome back. It's the Grilling Guys. This is Barbecue Bob, and I'm in studio with Tim Sobey.
Good to be here, Bob.
And our newly arrived special guest for this morning, Joshua Geertz, from Jenison, Michigan, actually.
Thanks for the invite, Bob. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Get that mic a little closer, buddy. Yep. So, Josh, how old are you?
I am 20.
20, yep. A whopping 20. Okay, I've been we've been friends for a long time, ever since going up to Pentwater and having weekends up there. So you're my daughter Olivia's age, and you were just a little squirt when I first started knowing you, and watching you now turn into a man and being friends on social media and following your exploits. I have a few young friends like you that are really passionate about fishing, and I don't get to fish as much as I want to, but I love watching you and a couple other fellas pictures of fishing, because it makes me feel like I get to catch and release a little bit. So let's talk about maybe some competitions you've been in the last couple of years.
Okay. Most of my summers are spent on Lake Michigan. I do a lot of competitive fishing out there. I run charters during the week. And then, you know, if there's a tournament going on, they typically run out of each port on the west side of the lake, being the Michigan side.
Okay. And what's the name of your team?
Well, I fish with a couple different teams. I fish with Easy Limits out of Holland, and then I fish with the In Pursuit in Grand Haven.
Okay.
Yep.
And what? How soon would charter trips start now?
Chartering will start typically. Some boats will go in 2 weeks. Some boats will go in a week. But I would say it really heats up starting in May.
May, yeah, yep. That's what I'm thinking.
Yep.
And when's the best time to be on Lake Michigan in particular for Chinook or Steelhead?
Well, yeah, like you said, you know, the Chinook kind of have two main times being out there in the lake. They're in there. They make a really big run through May, mid-May, even into the end of May for some of the northern ports of the lake, you know, running, you know, from Michigan City up to Frankfort and all that. And where they go from there, I'm not sure. And then, again, in the beginning of August, they run in toward the Drowned River mouths and into the rivers where they were, you know, made or where they were planted or mm-hmm. so forth. Right. So that's a really popular time for those big four-year-old kings.
Yeah.
Steelhead, just anytime the lake flips, we get an east wind, it gets cold, scams will come in mid, end of June. But you can always go out there and really catch a steelhead. I mean, you can't really target them. I mean, you can't go out there and catch 20 of them. But
you're just lucky when you get them, it seems like.
Yep.
And so right now, the rivers, the Grand River, the White, you name it, Pentwater, all of these, the steelhead are running. They're running up the rivers,
yep.
or maybe already up in some cases, yep. the further south you go. Let's say a guy has some waders and a salmon rod and wants to give it a try, and he's never really done it before. What's his best bet?
Well, as far as spots or gear?
All of it.
All of it.
Spots, I say ask your buddies who are going
yep.
and look for other guys that yep. are out there, because yep. they've already made the mistakes.
Yep. So me going and knowing what I do, for the most part, almost anywhere right now from down south to St. Joe till the Boardman River, you can go out and target steelhead. Some fish will be on reds, some fish will be in holes, some fish will be pushing up in the lower river systems.
Some fish will be on reds?
Reds.
What's that?
Meaning gravel. So they're spawning.
Okay.
Right. They've reached their point to where they were made. They know this is where I need to make a bed. You know, they fan out on the gravel, lay their eggs, hang out mm-hmm. for a couple days. Water gets warm, gets low, then they push back and go out toward the lake.
Okay.
You know, grab a pair of waders. You know, float rod is really the technique I enjoy doing. I know a lot of guys bottom bounce and fly fish for them, indicator fish, swing for them.
So explain float.
Float fishing is pretty much just a bobber, a couple sinkers, and a spawn bag on the end. I mean, it's really simple.
What kind of bobber? Is that going to be a slip?
You can do a slip if you're fishing deeper rivers. I do like to do that. If I'm fishing shallower, you know, smaller rivers like the Muskegon or the White or the PM or even the Pentwater, I just do fixed floats
mm-hmm.
With just balsa, typically right around 8 to 11 gram floats, spread out some shot, maybe 5-6 split shots below that. Put on a barrel swivel, a leader, usually 8-pound fluorocarbon is the leader of choice, and then a hook, again, of your choice, and a spawn bag. A lot of guys will run a jig with some wax worms on it. A lot of guys run beads, which are really effective as well in the springtime when there's eggs in the system.
Right.
And pretty much that's just a bead. I mean, it doesn't have to be anything special. It's pegged up with a rubber toothpick is essentially what it is. About 2 inches above your hook and run that under the bobber the same way you would spawn.
And can you use a treble hook?
You cannot use a treble hook.
Because you're running the risk of snagging, for one thing.
Yes.
You don't want to get caught hooking a fish in the side.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay, so if I'm going to try for Steelies and I'm going to go up on the Pure Marquette, the trout mecca of the Midwest, okay, I'm going to go up to Steelies this right now, this weekend, or in the next few days, where on the PM would I want to be? Closer to Ludington? Or where does that come out? Yeah, Ludington. Or am I going to want to go up to, like, the Hart Bridge or where?
If I was going to go to the PM this weekend, really there's – the PM is an awesome river, in my opinion. It's one of my favorite rivers to fish. It's 76 miles long, a fishable river from Lake Michigan to M37. And the stretches past M37 open up the last Saturday in April, so a couple weeks yet. A lot of those fish now, so the PM will get a run October, late October, November of fall fish that will hang out in the river until about this point. You know, when they spawn, they get the chance to go up on a gravel bed, make their, you know, do their business, and then leave the lake. And then we also have winter run fish that trickle in with high water in the winter, warm days. And then we have the big spring push, which is right now. Rivers are high, rivers are warm, warmer than Lake Michigan. Those fish are going to come in and push up. A lot of times the fish target the fly water in the PM, which would be Glesians to 37. Glesians and below, you can fish, you know, your normal, your beads, your spawn, your waxworms. Obviously, you can't the fly water. It's catch and release only in flies. That's, again, that's not really my thing. I haven't really figured that one out yet.
So the Muskegon River
so
might be a better bet.
Even the Muskegon, yep. You can do it. A lot of guys access it from a boat. I know a lot of the lower parts can't really be fished by foot, but up high can be when it comes down.
It's a big water for waders.
It's big water for waders. But, you know, the PM is a great water for that. A lot of people, a lot of walk-in access along the river from, again, Glesians all the way down to the end of the lake shore. You can honestly, you can probably hit fish anywhere in that system, and as well as any other ones,
the
down
white,
low, up high, the white,
Kalamazoo,
See, the Kalamazoo is a little different because it's deep, it's slow, and it's not as long as like the PM, right? Because the dam is right in there, so those fish will end up just kind of shooting all the way up to where they can and then hanging out right there for a while. So,
whereabouts is that?
The dam would be. Well, downtown Allegan, the Allegan.
Oh,
dam.
Is that where
it
is? Okay. Well, that's got to be a popular spot, too.
Then. It is a popular spot.
A lot of sportsmen in Allegan.
Yep. As long as, you know, with Sixth Street Dam, Tippy Dam, Mesquite Croton Dam right in maybe Newaygo there.
So, what's your favorite way to do steelhead?
Like you said, I like using a bobber. I float fish.
No, to cook it.
Oh, to cook it. All right. Well, cooking it. Man, there's so many different ways. I really like just butter and brown sugar on the grill is really good.
Really?
I like lemon pepper. Lemon pepper's a lot really good.
And brown sugar.
And brown sugar.
Huh.
Yep. It kinda,
a little bit of candy.
It gets a little bit. Yeah, it's like a, I don't even know how to explain it, like a crust almost. But it turns out really, really well. It's
nice.
Really good, yeah.
A little sweet crust.
Yep, exactly.
And then some lemon pepper
gives
it a little tart.
Yep.
There. Learn something, Mr. Sobey.
Well, spot on with one of our competition barbecue guys, and that's one of his tricks on ribs, and that is butter and brown sugar. And they're winning competitions with that. You know, when we go to a commercial break, he gave a couple spots to fish, but I'm going to bribe him with a side of beef to give us the best spots to go.
Okay. I'm going to bribe him some of this whitefish dip. Well, there isn't any left. Okay. Any last little pointers for that first-time fisherman out there, Joshua?
Anywhere in the area, stop and see me.
Yeah, where's
at
that?
Point. At the Outdoorsman Pro Shop in Jenison, Michigan, 678 Baldwin Street. You can give us a call at 457-3630.
Okay.
I'm there for the most part. A lot of guys in there do a lot of river fishing. We're all really knowledgeable and, you know, can help anybody out, help the beginner fishermen out. We do it every day.
Awesome. Joshua Geertz, you're a good man. Thanks so much for rushing through this traffic to get down here and hang out with us for just a second.
Thank you for having me.
All right. We'll be back.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? I mean the kind that makes you remember walks with your grandfather. Come on over to Schmoe's Brewing Company in Grand Rapids or Petoskey, and we have some handcrafted root beer, probably the best in the state of Michigan. That's 2600 Patterson in Grand Rapids or 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey. You know you're dying for a good root beer float.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, and our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
Now you're a man, a man, man, man. Now you're a man, a manny, manny, man, a man, man, man. You are now a man, you're a man. Now you're a man.
Today's man law: no man shall ever turn down free beer because it's not your brand. I just had that. I used to be quite a snob. I'm a slow learner, as Jop would tell you. You should be, you know, throwing some cheap shots at me in lieu of Jop being here. But I am a slow learner.
And, not as slow as me. That's why I'm not throwing anything at you.
So somebody offered me a beer the other day, and it was, you know, a cheap national brand. And I hesitated for just a second, and I go, it'd be great. And you know what? It wasn't that bad. So don't be a snob. Oh, we want to remember yesterday was National Vietnam, the anniversary of the end of the Vietnamese War. So it's Vietnam Veterans Day, I believe is what they call it. But just want to remember all those vets and all those people who served in Vietnam. Terrible place. But we had a job we had to do, and we did it.
Yeah.
And thanks some just service. Didn't come back. Yeah. So... there's a cool method here for steelhead, and I'm going to call it the limeade method, Timmy. And this I found online, and it just sounded like an awesome way to do a steelhead, something I've never tried before. And you got to have one of those 6-ounce cans of limeade. And what you do is you combine the limeade, olive oil, soy sauce, garlic, rosemary, in a flat dish, like a baking pan is what I usually grab some of my wife's stuff for that, or a gallon-sized Ziploc bag. You rinse that steelhead fillet out under cold water, pat it dry, and you slide it into that bag or pan, and you turn it several times, and you refrigerate it for an hour. So it's that real tart, you know, remember the frozen stuff, like frozen lemonade or any of that stuff?
Yeah.
It's lime.
Yeah.
So you're going to get a real sweet, tart, I guess, base for your marinade. What do you think of that?
Well, I know it's delicious because that's the same base we use for whiskey slush.
Is it?
So, yeah. So, yeah, it's yeah. It's delicious.
Oh, you might know where to get it then.
Potentially,
probably
yeah.
Get it at Sobey Meats. Want to thank Tim Sobey for coming in and filling in for Jop at, I mean, the last minute. He was, he called me up this morning just... I said, okay, forget it. Stay home. I don't want to be anywhere near you. Bling, bling. Sobey Meats. Yeah, is Tim in yet? So anyway, Sobey Meats in west side of Grand Rapids. Probably the coolest meat market you'll ever go into. I tell people literally all around Michigan about your shop because no matter where you go in the state, there are not many, if any, shops like yours. And when I explain it to people, they you can just see them go, wow, you got to take me there next time I'm in town, and which I do. So
and sponsor them to get in, right?
Yeah.
The back door.
Oh. And Joshua Geertz, thanks so much for making the run down here this morning to talk to our folks about, especially young guys like yourself. You know, we have a lot of young listeners. We have guys podcasting the show. And some people want to take that chance. What's the encouragement you can give them in 10 seconds?
Just patience. Go out there, perseverance, keep fishing, learn things, talk to people, go places, fish different spots, and you'll learn.
And get ready not to catch fish, because that could happen. Yeah. But a bad day of fishing, or a good day of fishing is always better than a bad day at work. How's that go?
Yeah, pretty something much like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd rather be fishing than about anything else. So thanks for joining us. We're the Grilling Guys. We'll be back next week in full force. Have a good weekend.